You're listening to a Times Higher Education podcast.
I'm joined by Bethany Coates, Assistant Dean and Director of Global Innovations at Stanford Graduate School of Business. Thank you very much for joining me.
Thank you for having me.
It's the Stanford Ignite London programme that we're here to talk about. It's a 10-week course based in Canary Wharf, although lecturers will, and I quote from the literature here, be beamed in from California over the internet to deliver certainly parts of the teaching. Students pay £6,500 for this course. What are they getting for their cash?
Yeah, so Stanford Ignite is a certificate program in innovation and entrepreneurship, and we originally developed it in 2006 primarily for our Stanford graduate students in the schools of engineering and medicine. Mm-hmm. And the course itself is really designed to provide a comprehensive overview of business disciplines, as well as applied skills that our students learn through a team-based interaction. And finally, we also offer mentorship throughout the duration of the program. Mm-hmm. So the enduring value of the program is both the education they've received, but also becoming a part of the Stanford community here in London and around the world.
Mm, you've already done it in a number of places.
That's right.
Well, so this is London's sort of 2 years in or thereabouts to this program being rolled out in different countries. Where else have you done it, and what's the thinking behind rolling it out internationally rather than keeping it in Stanford?
Yeah, sure. So again, we launched it in Stanford in 2006. We've had lots of time to tinker with the curriculum and really perfect it. When a couple of years ago, as the GSB was thinking about our global strategy, we wanted to reach out to the rest of the world in a way that was authentic to Stanford. And for us, that means a very high-touch personal education that's designed to change lives. And so we had taken a lot of time to look at Stanford Ignite and realize that this was actually the perfect vehicle for us to reach out to the rest of the world. The topic, the subject matter is innovation and entrepreneurship, where we have deep expertise. And we were able to construct it in such a way that we could deliver it in other locations in a part-time format so people can continue working and studying as they normally would, while also having access to this world-class education. One of the reasons why we opted to take Stanford Ignite around the world is that since 2006, our students have rated it between a 4.8 and a 5.0 on a 5.0 scale in terms of overall quality of the educational value. And so our students love it, and they feel like they get a tremendous amount out of the program itself. And so we really, as a university with an academic mission, we felt responsible for sharing this material more broadly. And to this point, we've launched it in Bangalore, Beijing, Santiago, and Paris. Mm-hmm. In the next 6 months or so, we'll launch in New York, London, and Sao Paulo. And in the process, we're developing this global community of innovators and entrepreneurs. Many of our students go on to launch their own startups, but most of them actually are innovators within large companies. So they're the ones tasked with thinking about the future of corporations and new lines of business.
You said before we started recording, and you've alluded to it there, that the reason for this Ignite program was perhaps more to do with the social responsibility of the university, so the democratisation of education, reaching communities that don't normally get it. Now, I can see how that would work with some of the countries you listed there early on, some of the more developing countries, if you like. The more recent programmes are being launched in New York and London. I mean, we have sort of plenty of universities over here that would perform with the world's best. I'm sure New York would like to think it's pretty business savvy. And you're charging, I imagine, a little bit more here than perhaps you would in some of those other nations. Correct me if I'm wrong.
You're wrong.
I'm wrong. Oh, yes. Well, that's interesting. Well, in that case, I mean, what's the motivation then for bringing it to London? Because you know, we've got sort of plenty of institutions here that could deliver that kind of course.
Yes. Well, one of the factors actually that we look for in all of our markets is an excellent higher education system, and we do that because again, Stanford Ignite was originally developed for our master's and PhD students from the schools of engineering and medicine. So a really sophisticated student, somebody who can thrive in a fast-paced learning environment, and so we look for that profile in all of our markets. And of course, we find that here in London, where the higher education system is so exceptional. Mm-hmm. At the same time, there's nothing like Stanford Ignite on the market here in London or elsewhere around the world. It's a really unique offering. And part of that is because there's no place like Silicon Valley in the world, and Stanford and Silicon Valley have a very unique and deep symbiotic relationship. And so that's what we want to extend out to the rest of the world, what we've learned there. And we'd like to share that. And also, in all of our locations, those are also centers of innovation and entrepreneurship. Tech City here in London is, of course, the third largest tech cluster in the world. And so the dynamics here are very different from what we see in California. As much as we want to share what we've learned, we also want to pick up what's going on here and bring that back to our own classrooms as well. So we see it as very much a conversation and an exchange of knowledge and ideas.
Mm. So how many students from London will make up the first cohort on this program, and how do they get in? Is it a tough entry requirement?
So there is an application process, and we take that process very seriously. The applications are due on May 19th, and we don't have a quota. So this is not a profit center for the GSB. It's an impact center. This is all about our mission to share knowledge and share education around the world. So that means that we don't have a set number of students. At the minimum that we would accept would be 25. We can take up to 50 or 55, but it will really depend upon the overall quality of the applicant pool and who meets our admissions criteria.
Mm-hmm. And what are those criteria?
Yeah, so we look for spikes in your particular field. So we look for patents, we look for published articles, we look for evidence that you are an expert in your field and that you have potential to change the world. Mm-hmm. And we have a very diverse student body, and that's part of how we construct every cohort. So it's not that we're limiting to technologists, for example, but we look for a spike in your field, and that can mean different things to different people. An undergraduate degree is required. Up to 90% or more of our students actually have a graduate degree on top of that, so very, very well educated typically. And finally, we have the written application process, which consists of a couple of essays and a couple of recommendations. But we also have a live interview process for everyone who passes our first filter. Mm-hmm. And we do that because, again, this is a team-based program, meaning that we match our students into teams from day one of the program. And we want to be sure that the people that we admit are capable of collaborating in this very intense learning environment. So we screen for that in the interview process as well.
Mm-hmm. And is this a harbinger, an indicator maybe of the direction Stanford Business School in particular perhaps might go? I mean, theoretically, you could take this room in Canary Wharf and beam in an entire MBA, couldn't you, to get, you know, to expand your global reach of students. Do you think that's something that Stanford could see itself moving into?
So with the Stanford GSB, the perspective is always, can we have life-changing impact? So our mission is change lives, change organizations, and change the world. Whenever we think about a program, we're thinking about it with that lens rather than the technology or the format through which the program is delivered. That said, we are doing quite a bit of work with innovative forms of education. Ignite, of course, is a blended format. So it's taught completely and entirely by the same Stanford faculty who teach in our MBA program. Mm-hmm. Some of those faculty will be located here in London. Some of them will be beamed in through video conference, and then there'll be just a little bit of content online. That's what we mean by blended. Mm-hmm. But the GSB also offers a fully online certificate program in innovation and entrepreneurship, and we're looking at another blended format program for innovators, which would be largely online. For us, though, it's really about the impact. So we're willing to experiment, and we invest very heavily in that, and we take a lot of calculated risks. But if it doesn't have the impact, then we're not willing to do it.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I want to bring it back to the cost. I think you've got some, is it bursaries available as well, or scholarships?
Yes.
Are available too. So I know there are sort of some things to consider when discussing it, but I made a mistake earlier. You were right to pull me up on it. £6,500 is quite a lot of money for mm-hmm. a 10-week course in the UK. I imagine in Bangalore, which was one of the places you mentioned, it's a lot of money there.
Yes.
Too. I mean, how do you find that you get applications from a good range of people who would be perfectly suitable for that course, or do you find, you know, it tends to be people who just happen to be a bit better off who end up on this course and completing this course?
Yeah. So one of our core values is democratization of access to this education. So we take that very, very seriously. And actually, if you look at how how executive education is priced around the world, Ignite is a tremendous value compared to those other price points. So in terms of the student body, we do get a range of people, absolutely. And some of those people we give scholarships to. If we really believe that somebody is coming in with distinctive expertise and experience and that they'll add a very unique element to the cohort, we will find a way to work with them and make it affordable. We have people who have crowdsourced their tuition from different platforms. We've had people who take loans from their family to afford the program. And I'll reiterate that the GSB makes no profit on this whatsoever. This is actually an investment for us. We lose money on most of our locations because the point for us is academic impact. And so we price this as low as we can. We hope to break even over time, but that's the only goal that we have on a financial basis for this program. So we understand that it's expensive. Nonetheless, despite our efforts to control the cost. And we do add a tremendous amount of value to it. So it's 100 hours in the classroom with Stanford GSB faculty, again, the same faculty who teach in our MBA program. And we're doing that because we want to make sure that the quality of the program is consistent across all of our markets. And the feedback that we're getting from our students across all of our markets is that it's absolutely life-changing. It's 150 hours outside of the classroom, so there's supplementary material and homework and pre-work that our students do individually and as teams. And then there's also a very significant mentorship element within the program, where every single team is matched with a mentor drawn from the industry in which they're thinking about launching this venture or new line of business. Mm-hmm. And that becomes a very close relationship in many cases, and those mentors are typically drawn from the Stanford community. So the value is in the program itself, in the community that is built as the program proceeds, but also in being part of the Stanford network within each individual city, but also globally as well.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Just on the more logistical side of things in the UK, the information says it's going to be taught in a classroom in Canary Wharf, yeah. Which is obviously synonymous with the business world over here. It's sort of very in keeping with the overall brand of the course. Is that? I mean, how's that working? Are you renting a bit of space? Are you going to buy a building? How's that all work?
No, Chris. Again, so we're focused very much on controlling our costs. So many universities have tried building campuses or leasing buildings. That would have been prohibitively expensive for us, and it just doesn't serve the needs of our students. We want to stay focused on our core competency, which is providing a world-class education, as opposed to real estate or security or catering or all those other things that you take on when you build a campus or lease a whole building. So we look for corporations to host us for free when we take this program abroad. In this case, Infosys hosts us in Bangalore, and they will also host us here in Canary Wharf in London. Mm-hmm. They've been extraordinarily generous. They'll give us full access to a plenary room, which will function as our main classroom, as well as breakout rooms for all of our student teams. Our students will use these spaces over the weekends that the program meets. And then in their off hours, our students typically will get together either in person in a cafe or a shared space, or using any one of a number of online platforms like Google Hangout or Skype.
Mm-hmm. And for those who don't know, Infosys is, what was the name of the?
Infosys, yes, yeah. It's a tech company based in India.
Okay, and they have property in Canary Wharf.
Yes, beautiful office building in Canary Wharf.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I guess this is my final question, really. I mean, whenever we speak about online learning, one issue that often rears its head is the impact it can have on perhaps less prestigious universities. Mm-hmm. Stanford obviously has a great reputation. Mm-hmm. We publish our reputation rankings today, in fact, which will back that up a bit later on. But what does that mean for the... the best way to put it is less prestigious universities. I mean, if you can do a Stanford business course in London, put yourself in the shoes of someone who's at a less prestigious university in London offering a similar course. Would you be worried that these sort of behemoths of the university world can now expand their reach right into their territory and start taking students that perhaps would typically be there in their catchment area, in the old sort of, in the old world of bricks and mortar?
Mm-hmm. You know, I think that this is a very dynamic time for universities in general. I think that it's incumbent upon us to make sure that we're providing the best educational experience that we can for our students, no matter where they are. So whether you're Stanford or a lesser known university, I think that that reality exists and that we need to meet that challenge. And for us, Stanford Ignite is one of the ways in which we're pursuing this new opportunity, right? So these are all complementary markets to our MBA student population, for example. And it's a new way for us to reach top talent everywhere around the world. Mm-hmm. I think that any university has to take it back to what is the impact that we're having. What is our core competency relative to other institutions, and really stay focused on that. If you're providing an education that your students find valuable, that changes their lives, then you have nothing to worry about. And in Stanford Ignite in particular, again, we look for markets where the higher education system is already excellent. It's already functioning at a world-class level. But one of the reasons why we feel that Stanford Ignite would work well in this market is because there's nothing else like it. Mm-hmm. So with Ignite, our intention isn't to displace something that's already there. There isn't anything like Ignite in London or in any of our other cities. And so we think of it as being very additive and very complementary.
So the democratization point is less about reaching communities that perhaps wouldn't have access to HE. It's more about giving them a greater choice about what they can have.
It's democratization of access to a Stanford education, yeah.
And finally, I guess you have a good number of students who've already completed this program at your other location. Do you have a sense of what they get out of it? What, you know, whether it's been worth their while, if you like.
Absolutely. So at this point, we have 13 or 1,400 past participants of the program. They've given us a tremendous amount of feedback on the program. And what we've seen is that over 100 different ventures have been started in many different areas. We've had our students start companies all over the world. And you can tell by the numbers that many more of our students are actually innovators within large corporations. So, for example, one of our students in our first cohort in Bangalore, a software engineer named Avinash, had an idea for a customer retention app. That ended up being the idea that his team worked on during the Stanford Ignite program in Bangalore. At the end of the program, he ended up pitching it to a panel of Yahoo executives internally, and they picked it out as something that they wanted to launch on a global scale. And Avinash was actually pulled over to join a team of software engineers that Marissa Meyer works with personally. So it was an amazing success story for Avinash personally, but also for Ignite and for the impact that we can have on one person, but also on a community of people going forward. And that's certainly what we aim to do with this program.
Very good. Well, do keep us in touch regarding the number of people who sign up to the London program. We'll watch with interest. But for now, Bethany Coates, Assistant Dean and Director of Global Innovations at Stanford Graduate School of Business, thanks for talking to me.
Thank you so much for having me.
You're listening to a Times Higher Education podcast.